And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And throughout our community, we know there is probably no more precious resource than our community's children. And April is an important month for many reasons. Of course, we're all dealing with the constantly shifting headlines in the coronavirus pandemic emergency, but it is also Child Abuse Prevention Month. And these two issues do conflate in terms of this is a something that many experts and specialists in the field are saying we need to be on guard about, because with so many families having additional stressors, needing to shelter in place, need potential job losses or impacts on their paychecks that they're bringing home, as well as just the increased intimacy that's forced by being in homes for so long together, that child abuse and child neglect issues could be something that could be on the rise as we progress through this unprecedented coronavirus pandemic. But even before then, the focus in April was going to be on child abuse prevention. And joining me today on the show, I'm very pleased to have El Paso County Commissioner Cami Bremer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
As well as Julie Crow, the Executive Director of the El Paso County Department of Human Services.
Thank you.
Oh, so glad that you're both here. First of all, how are you guys all coping with the coronavirus? Go ahead, Cami.
You know, it's a busy time for everybody. So, you know, your El Paso County commissioners and all of your local leaders are working very hard and working together to kind of keep essential services, one of which is definitely all the services provided by the Department of Human Services, to make sure that our citizens still have access to that and can get what they need.
And Julie Crow, the Executive Director of the Department of Human Services for El Paso County, when we're talking about prevention and the awareness programs that go into place in April and really continue throughout the year, but our special emphasis is on April, why is it so important that the community sticks together and acts as one in preventing child abuse and working to be that community buffer and guard to minimize the risks and to have children be in safe environments?
This is a great question. The community plays a critical role in preventing child abuse and neglect, and especially now, when the coronavirus crisis is going on, children aren't in school, as you said, families are experiencing more stress, and mandatory reporters make up a large portion of our call, the Child Abuse and Neglect Hotline, and so we are seeing a big drop in reports of child abuse and neglect to our hotline, and that's where the community can come in, and, you know, if you see a family under stress, hopefully you can pick up the phone and make a call to our hotline.
And how would the process work? Would it be affected by all the different restrictions that are in place?
In terms of child abuse and neglect, we still have people answering the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The number is 1-844-CO4KIDS. And we still have caseworkers that go out and assess for the safety of children if the call is meets our statutory criteria for child abuse and neglect. We have people go out and still see the children, meet with the families. There's a big emphasis on prevention as well, though, and so some of these calls are screened out and instead referred to community resources. So not everything is child abuse and neglect, and there's a lot that parents can do as well and families can do to support their own local community.
When you're talking about, and I'm going to direct this to Cami, when you're talking about schools being closed, so many of the calls come in through the schools. How can we act as the eyes and ears and the watchdogs of our community's children when that important avenue for observation is not there anymore?
You know, I think that what's important to realize is that the interpersonal interactions that kind of clue us in on things that may not be going well for a family, all of those are suddenly gone, whether it's a grandparent, oftentimes a neighbor.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. None of those interactions are there. So it's not just about kids not being in school and the kind of scary sounding word of a mandatory reporter. It's about all of the social connections that might be kind of a lifeline for a child in a difficult situation. They don't have access to any of those right now. So that becomes all the more important while we're doing the things that are, helping our community, whether it's dropping off groceries for a neighbor, just paying attention to the limited interactions that we have. And also understanding that, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call and let the, Julie's wonderful caseworkers and those who are answering the phone be able to kind of figure out and prioritize those. Don't be afraid to just bring up something that maybe doesn't feel quite right, but you don't want to get someone in trouble. Julie's team is very, very good at coming alongside those families and giving them the resources they need if there's not extreme abuse or neglect.
Well, and once again, today on The Extra, we are focusing on the month of April being designated National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and it certainly takes on increased importance at a time when families are being forced together, really against anyone's will to be forced together this much. This is family togetherness at a totally uncharted level, and how the extra stresses and pressures that are taking place worldwide are could weigh on families and might give increased risk for kids being put in danger to child abuse. Again, the number, the hotline number to call, if you at all have something that you think needs to be drawn to the attention of authorities, is 844-CO-4-KIDS. We're going to be talking much more with Cammie Bremer and Julie Crow after the break. Right now, we want to take a little bit of a time for messages, but when we come back, we'll be talking about some of the signs that might give rise to making one of these calls. That's coming up on The Extra. You're listening to KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. And welcome to The Extra as you continue listening. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, the month where more than any month, but probably every month of the year, we should be focusing on this, how to keep our kids safe. And we're talking about specific strategies, things you can look for. And right now, we're glad to have on the phone El Paso County Commissioner Cammie Bremer, as well as the Executive Director for the County's Department of Human Services, Julie Crow. Julie, before the break, we were talking about warning signs that we can maybe clue into a little bit more in terms of ways to keep our kids safe and what might trigger a call to that hotline, 844-CO Colorado, CO4KIDS, or to be making some sort of connection with authorities. What sort of warning signs do your experts say to be on the lookout for?
Well, we really look for signs of either physical abuse or neglect. Neglect actually occurs more frequently than physical abuse, but in terms of physical abuse, unusual bruises or marks would be one most prevalent sign. You may also sometimes see physical abuse and domestic violence kind of co-occurring, and so if you're aware of a home where there's significant domestic violence and there are children involved, that can be a red flag. Substance abuse is also something that can be a red flag. And in terms of neglect, we look at things like children home alone, left alone in the car, or children who are hungry. And speaking of hunger, one thing that we can do that is positive is make sure that our community knows about local resources for food assistance or Medicaid. These are even more important during the coronavirus pandemic, and people can apply online. They don't need to come into the office. They can apply online through Colorado Peak for food assistance or for Medicaid, and we encourage our community to do that.
And that helps to buffer at least one of the, I guess, the impacts that many in our community are feeling when jobs were suddenly eliminated or furloughed because of the coronavirus pandemic. We really are dealing with some uncharted times right now, and the risk to our children is very real in terms of making sure that pressures and stresses on parents or caregivers doesn't put them at additional risk during this pandemic time. But the dangers of child abuse have been existing long before this pandemic outbreak started. And Julie, how did you first get into this role of helping children through the Department of Human Services, and why is this mission so important to you?
To be honest, this is what I've done my whole career, and so I'm very lucky to work at El Paso County Department of Human Services. I spent time in other counties working my way up as a caseworker and a supervisor and a manager and a director, and have also worked in substance abuse. So I think it's a very important mission. I don't think anything is more important than protecting our children from abuse and neglect, and also strengthening our families. There's a lot that we can do to support families that doesn't always involve investigating abuse or neglect, but involves assessing a family and helping them get to resources and services that they need so that we can prevent abuse and neglect before it happens.
And when you're talking about, we hear throughout the nation, we hear sometimes horror stories about the caseloads that social service workers are carrying, and how that can lead to problems of not being aware of these actual cases of child abuse going on. So how is the caseload for your workers there, and do you anticipate, or are you preparing your caseworkers mentally and in other ways to see a potential of more cases, or maybe fewer cases, as this works its way through? This really is unprecedented, what we're dealing with now.
That's a great question. Just to give you a little bit of context, El Paso County is the largest county, unfortunately, in terms of child abuse and neglect in the entire state. We see an average of 16,500 reports of child abuse and neglect a year. And we, of those, some of are screened out and referred to community resources or other preventative programs. But of those 16,500 reports, 6,633 result an assessment where someone goes out to the home and talks to the family, and then about 1,700 result in a case. And so in terms of our caseworkers' workload, it's still a little bit higher than we would like. There was a workload study done by the state of Colorado several years ago, and they determined that statewide caseworkers were carrying too many cases. And since that time, the state of Colorado every year has given counties across the state increased funding to hire more staff. So we're still not where we would like to be, but our caseload is getting more manageable as a result of the new state funding.
And how are you preparing your caseworkers for now, for this time of emergency, when there's really not any way to avoid? First of all, they are putting themselves in, I guess, the social distancing guidelines and requirements do not necessarily work when you're trying to do those investigations of reports of child abuse, is my guess. And how do you prepare them for, you know, the additional difficulties that might come in this time when we're all dealing with that?
This is a great question. We have really relied on our local community a great deal in terms of preparing our caseworkers, from gathering appropriate protective gear such as gowns or gloves or masks. We've had people like our own County Commissioner Cammie Bremmer donating masks to our caseworkers, and the Mary Mask Makers have been fantastic, also donating masks, and a number of local Businesses such as distilleries have donated hand sanitizer, and our Office of Emergency Management through the city and county have also been wonderful. So we've been lucky in terms of equipment that we've been able to kind of piece together what caseworkers need to keep themselves safe out in the community. We do have an organization that we work with called Thrive and a few staff that are dedicated to helping caseworkers with the trauma that they can experience when they're investigating abuse and neglect cases and the pressures that accompany that. And we have great resources through the County Human Resources Department as well to help our staff.
Oh, well, we know that the job that you do is so all important. We all want to see the elimination of child abuse and neglect cases in El Paso County and really statewide. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. That is the focus of our extra show today. We do have, in addition to Julie Crow, who you just heard from with Human Services in El Paso County, we do have Commissioner Cammie Bremmer on the line. Cammie, we're going to get to you after the break. We have many more questions to be asking and answers to be giving, but we also want to give out the number, the hotline number, for if people need to report anything that they find suspicious or that they think the authorities need to know about. It's 844-CO-4KIDS. That's the number to call. We're back in a moment. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're going to take a timeout for messages. And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the topics, issues, and people that are important to you and in this community. As we've been focusing throughout today's Extra show, we've been focusing on the fact that April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. And we learned from Julie Crow, the executive director of the county's Department of Human Services, that El Paso County leads the state in terms of the number of child abuse and prevention cases that are brought forward, that are brought to the attention of authorities, and certainly that reducing that number, reducing that statistic is something that we're all focused on throughout this show, and as well spreading the word in our community to make sure that families know that there are resources out there and that abusers are brought to justice. Joining us in addition to Julie, we also have El Paso County Commissioner Cammie Bremmer. And Cammie, you and I have a connection from a while back, because you and I have both had interests in being child advocates. You have how many children? Lots of children.
No, I have just one.
Oh, just one. Okay.
I do. And that's the, you know, it doesn't matter if you have many children or one, the stress is high for all parents right now. And so, you know, I think strengthening families and helping parents understand how to have a little bit of resilience and social connection in a world where there's kind of a lack of that right now. There are all kinds of strategies we can do to come alongside and strengthen families.
And when you're talking about the El Paso County Commission being in the a place to which it can fund these initiatives to strengthen families, what is, I guess, some of the direction that El Paso County Commissioners have been going in trying to find new ways, programs, resources to help families and keep them whole while also supporting, initiatives that protect children?
So, you know, our El Paso County Commission is incredibly proactive in really realizing that the future of our community, all of the things that we are doing to build a great community now, it actually all depends on the health of our younger generation and our future leaders. So we have, we're also very proactive in working with various nonprofits and forming public-private partnerships. We have an excellent partnership with the Colorado Springs Conservatory, with CPCD Head Start, and numerous other programs, just realizing that if we can help if El Paso County can be a convener and bring all of these people who have the expertise together, and that they have some support from a policymaking level to make sure that families are being connected with the correct resources for them, that we are ultimately strengthening families and strengthening our community.
That's right. Because as these cases play out in the court, that they're just heartbreaking. And heartbreaking for our court and our CASA system to deal with, as well as the very real suffering and setbacks that do follow for the kids who are victimized in this way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Cammie, I have to apologize because when I read your bio, it says you have a 4-year-old son. I thought it said 4 children, so I was thinking you had lots. A 4-year-old son, though, will keep
no
you plenty
worries.
Busy. Plenty
it,
busy.
Yes, it feels like 4 children sometimes.
As the El Paso County Board of Commissioners has moved to try and reduce the numbers that we're seeing, are there more? I mean, we know that there are so many competing interests and competing demands on the tax revenues that you're able to allocate. Has there been any ability to carve new funding out of grants and other areas so that we can continue throwing money at this problem? Because that will help bring about programs and staffing that will help reduce these numbers.
You know, we're very fortunate that in Colorado in general, our state legislature and governor's administrations for many years have prioritized this. And so the majority of the funding for Department of Human Services programming does come federally and then down through the states for us to locally administer. That being said, El Paso County does prioritize that, and we have quite a large percentage of a match on that. But again, that goes back to the public-private partnerships. That's where we get to be creative and say, oh, look at this awesome program that's going on for our military kids over here. And look at this awesome program that's going on at this nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And being able to, as commissioners, kind of say, okay, let's plug people in, let's connect all of these resources, and ultimately provide a better value for our taxpayers. You know, when we can have those public-private partnerships that are working together, ultimately towards, again, strengthened families and strengthened community.
Better outcomes for our kids. And certainly the schools are when they're in session, the various public charter private schools that we have in the area are enthusiastic partners in this mission as well when they are in session.
Absolutely. And you know what? They have continued to be outside as well. They've realized, you know, the providing online learning opportunities is not necessarily just about it's not necessarily just about getting the number of schooling hours in. It's about coming alongside those families, encouraging them to be a part of the learning that's going on in the household. And then, you know, we see examples like still providing free and reduced lunch really for anyone who needs it. And so we're seeing the school systems also very much step up and realizing that it's not just about when the children are inside their doors. They're taking care of the community right now too in many, many tangible ways.
Okay. Well, we like to hear those encouraging and promising efforts, and certainly we all support them in this community, but it takes a village, really. There was that saying a while back, I think that's probably 2 decades ago, but it really does, when you're trying to combat the abuse of our children in the community and make sure that their risks of suffering abuse or neglect are as minimized as possible. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. We really want to get the word out that there is much that can be done by community members, by family members, to help bring about an end to this scourge. If you suspect child abuse in your community, in your neighborhood, or neglect, the number to call is 844-CO-4-KIDS. And we're going to be talking much more with El Paso County Commissioner Cammie Bremer and Executive Director of the County's Department of Human Services, Julie Crow, after the break. Need to take a moment away so that we can hear from our sponsors. But in the meantime, stick around for more of The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. And we're back for the final segment of our extra show today. We are focusing on April being National Child Abuse Prevention Month. And if you see pinwheels popping up around town, you'll know why they are being planted, because child abuse prevention is so important. The pinwheels for prevention were adopted as the national symbol of this very important cause. I'm on the phone with Julie Crow, the Executive Director of Human Services for El Paso County, as well as County Commissioner Cammie Bremer. And Julie, this is something that's really difficult to lift the lid on, because sometimes the warning signs are hidden about kids being abused.
Yes, you're right. And one thing that we like to say is, you dial the number, we'll make the call. And what that really means is, if you're not sure, go ahead and make the report, and our experts on the hotline can make the call. We've moved to a new approach called differential response, where we're really assessing those low-risk and moderate-risk cases and working alongside the family to refer them to appropriate resources versus a more traditional investigatory approach. And so sometimes we do need to investigate because the abuse or neglect is so severe, but when we can, we really work to partner with families in that differential response model. And I also just wanted to say that in terms of a resource that families can look at, or neighbors or friends, in regards to how to support or help a family, Illuminate Colorado has some great ideas about what you as a local community member can do during this time of crisis.
Okay. And speaking of strategies, Commissioner Cammie Bremer, during this time, we're all looking for coping strategies to get us through this different time, such drastic differences taking place throughout our community. Really no place to escape from it. It might have been in past times we might have been able to, you know, go up to the mountains. Can't really do that right now. What would you say are some strategies for families getting through this difficult time?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first of all, we have to realize that it's not just parents that are stressed out. We all are, and we all have a role to play in assisting each other in perhaps having a little bit of a reprieve from the stress right now. An easy example, we live in beautiful Colorado. Take your physical distancing seriously, but get outside and take a walk, whether it is on a beautiful sunny day like yesterday or with impending snow. Put on the snowsuit and get outside for a few minutes. The other thing, you know, particularly for parents who may be juggling, they may be juggling either working from home or not working and suddenly being home with the kids out of school, find a time or a place to work out inside your home, and perhaps find ways to incorporate your kids in that. There are a lot of different strategies. And for those who maybe don't have, maybe our older population who don't have kids at home, realize that you're a huge part of providing social connections. Our neighborhood, you may have heard about the bear hunts going on around town, but mm-hmm. Our neighborhood, all of our neighbors have put bears or stuffed animals of some kind in their windows. And so as my son and I go out on a walk, it is really fun to go on a bear hunt and spot. And I have heard from our neighbors that it's encouraging them. They love, you know, kind of sitting back and listening to what the kids are going to say when they spot the bear in the window. Mm-hmm. And just realize that everybody has a different role they can play in providing community where it doesn't seem entirely feasible to be in the physical community right now. You can still provide it in other emotional ways.
In other ways. You reminded me last night, I was just about ready to go to bed early, work in the morning shift, and I'm hearing what I thought were coyotes at first, and then I realized it's everyone howling at 8 o'clock to show support for the medical workers and frontline workers who are risking so much. And so that's another thing you can do as a family. I'm sure a couple kids wouldn't mind staying up past their bedtime in order to howl at 8 o'clock and again show that sense of community. It might be just a way to let off steam, because I think that is something that families are needing to do when you are dealing with such forced intimacy and togetherness that there isn't really a lot of way to get away from it. But once again, if you have any suspicion that something needs to be looked at in terms of protecting kids from child abuse or child neglect, the number to call is 844-CO4-KIDS. County Commissioner Cammy Bremer and Julie Crow, Executive Director of Human Services, thank you both so much for being my guests and helping us put the spotlight on this very important issue. We want to make April National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Let's work on protecting our kids, keeping our families whole, and making sure that Southern Colorado is a safe place in which kids can grow up free from abuse and neglect. And
Thank you, Shannon.
You bet. You've been listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio.